Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Too tired for one.
I know. For JGL.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, that comes at the end. I don't know.
Should we start over? Say, no. This is going to be a dumb one.
We're recording at 9 at night.
Which, I don't know about you young people, but that's like, 9 at night is like midnight.
To me.
Yeah.
You recorded late. I usually demand to be done by 4.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, the older you get, the more you feel it, you know?
Yeah.
I identify much more with Bob than I do with any of the kids in the Belcher family.
Right.
So, this is PCMC, and we're here to talk about the Bob's Burgers movie.
So good.
Jen, we have seen the Bob's Burger movie twice now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Also, I guess now is a good time to say spoilers. Mm-hmm. Spoilers all over the place.
Spoilers. Especially because this is a murder mystery. Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, which you don't get, I don't think, from the trailer.
No.
You don't get anything, yeah. Which I like.
And the murderer is a character that has appeared for the last couple seasons on and off. So it's not a new character for the movie.
Aww.
Now, me and Jen are new Bob's Burgers fans.
Yes.
So we have...
Like, as of this year.
Yeah, like, in what, November we started, what, right? We were at the... Yeah, we watched the first episode the day after our anniversary. We were at...
Margaritaville.
I don't mean to flex about our lifestyle, but we were at Margaritaville. And we watched
Times
it.
Square.
Yeah. And then we started because we wanted to start it. We're up to like season 8 now, but there's 900 seasons, so.
we're going to get there.
Yeah. So there was only a few, there are only two characters in the movie that you and I didn't like know.
Right.
And one is the fish odor's cousin, Grover Fishoder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know him. I really thought he was for the movie.
No. He's been around. Spoiler alert, he's the killer.
Oh, no.
I did it right down.
Killer, he's the killer.
And then the other person is Felix's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Who...
I forget her name.
Yeah.
She's fun.
Yeah. She's in jail, I think, for whatever happened to her.
Look at my outfit. I don't wanna. I'm sleepy.
Yeah. Shit, what's that character's name?
I don't know. She kind of sounds like grown up. What's her name? Is it Tammy?
Oh, yeah. What are you doing? Oh, Fanny. Her name's Fanny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, it's got currently, I think, 88% positive on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well deserved.
Pretty good. Yeah, we liked it a lot. I do think that if you've never seen Bob's Burgers, you might be a little overwhelmed. I don't think you'll be confused.
Right.
But you might be like, why does this comedy have so many characters? Like,
right.
And because this one thing that the show one thing that the movie doesn't do is it assumes that you know everybody in this world.
Right.
And that you're happy to see them.
Right.
So like they don't really introduce who everyone is. You know who everyone is. You know who Teddy is. You know who, you know all the people are. You know the guy who's naked that skates around all the time. You know who all these people are.
You know Jimmy Pesto.
Yeah. You know Coochie Kobe.
Yeah.
And melted Coochie Kobe.
Yeah. That's true. Actually, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Why would Louise have two when one is damaged?
Right.
Yeah. They don't explain that at all.
Right. But it was that episode.
Right. The first time we saw it, we went to Alamo, and it was for a special screening.
Yeah, it was a few days early.
Yeah, it came out on the 25th, and we saw it the Tuesday before, and it was a lot of fun. I forgot where I was going with that. I was going somewhere with that.
Well, they had they played a bunch of music videos from Bob's Burgers beforehand. Right. And they had a really funny thing that they made specifically for the Alamo. Because the Alamo has this, like, they're very well known for having this rule that if you're caught on your phone or whatever, they'll kick you out. And if you're disruptive, they kick you out. Mm-hmm. So it was like, here is a real phone call to Alamo. And it's like, hi, Alamo. And it's John Benjamin doing Bob. And he was like, yeah. And you immediately know his voice.
Yeah.
Which he does no acting into it. Like, that's just exactly what his... Well, he acts, but there's no change in his voice. That's exactly what he sounds like. And he's like, what if you're with your kids and they're, like, terrible, like, really terrible kids, and they get kicked out? Does the parent get to stay? So everyone loved that. And it was a really good crowd.
That was my point. Yeah. I remember when you... But, yeah, we got to see it with, like, true Bob's Burgers fans.
Yeah, like, people that, like...
Yeah. Like hardcores.
Like clap when Little King Trash Mouth comes out.
Right, yeah.
Who's a raccoon.
Right.
Like every reference, people were like, yay, it's this guy. Yeah. Or yay, it's that guy.
It was a super good crowd to see it for the first time with.
Yeah. And they had a Bob's Burgers menu.
Yeah, they did.
I had the It's Cumin from Inside the House burger, which was an impossible veggie burger, but with like cauliflower coated in cumin on top, but like fried. It was pretty good. And you had, what did you have?
Poutine on the Ritz.
And you had Linda Sangria.
Oh, yeah, Wine Train Sangria.
Wine Train, right, from the Wine Train episode.
It was good. The sangria was good. Yeah.
Mommy doesn't get drunk. She has fun.
Yep. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And this is a musical, which...
Yeah.
The show is randomly a musical. Like, there's not a song in every episode.
Right.
But if a song breaks out, you're not like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Because it happens enough.
Right.
It happens enough that there's like 3 albums worth of...
Or more.
Stuff out there. Yeah.
Is it just 3?
I don't know.
I feel like it's a good amount.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's only, what is it? There's 3 songs in this movie. There's the opening song, which is a song that the whole Belcher family sings.
Yeah, the summer one.
Yeah, it's called The Sunny Side of Summer of Our Lives. It's the sunny side. And it's all about like how it's the summer and they've all got exciting plans and they all have things that they want to do. And Bob and Linda think that they might get an extension on their loan and they're excited about that. Mm-hmm. Which they don't. And then
they don't. No.
There's a song that a bunch of carnies sing called Lucky Duck.
Lucky Duck.
And then there's the last song, which is very... I don't know enough about musicals to explain it, but it's like... It's while the bad guy is like explaining his plan, and it's like every character is speaking, but it's all musical. It's really interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of a reprise of The Sunny Side of Summer. It starts out that way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So if you don't know, Bob's Burgers was created by Lauren Bouchard. And Lauren Bouchard, he got together in like the 90s with somebody, I think it was a teacher of his or somebody, a guy named Tom Schneider, who ran a like digital company. Like he wasn't even really in entertainment, but he was like, he realized that he could like make... like the sort of cheap digital animation. And the first thing that they worked on together was Dr. Katz Professional Therapist, which was, it's sort of a cult comedy now, but it was H. John Benjamin played the son, the sort of like layabout son. Mm-hmm. And then the father, Dr. Katz, was played by the comedian Jonathan Katz. And the conceit was that it was a therapist, but every patient was a comedian. And the comedian would just make their act into like they're talking to a therapist.
That's fun.
And then they'd animate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually, what's her name? Laura Silverman, Sarah Silverman's sister, played the secretary to Dr. Katz.
Mm-hmm.
And H. John Benjamin's character was always like trying to like win her favor, and she didn't like him. And now Lauren Silverman and Sarah Silverman play Andy and Ollie.
Right.
The
twins.
The two youngest of
Pestos,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're new to the Bob's Burger fandom, but I think what I love about it, just in general, not just the movie, is that it is It's funny, but without being cynical. It's actually very right. sweet.
Yeah, it's super. Yeah, it's very, very sweet.
It's like a good family.
Yeah.
It is a good family thing. Like, they're a good family. Right. It's a model of a good family. It's very sweet. I actually read an interesting article that just came out for this movie with Lauren Bouchard. And he was saying that in his mind, Bob is an artist. And Bob's struggle is the struggle of an artist because he wants to be creative. He said he could do something that's easy and not creative and pleasing like Jimmy Pesto, but he doesn't.
That's fair.
So that means in the mind of the creator, Jimmy Pesto is like
a sellout.
Or he's like Family Guy. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you know what
I see,
mean? Like,
right.
Like in if you extend the artist metaphor, gotcha. Pesto's, which is this like very simple like Italian restaurant right. with a bar,
right.
is like not trying as hard as yeah. Bob is trying with his cuckoo burgers.
Right, right.
And the screenplay for this movie was by Lauren Bouchard and Nora Smith, which, and those are the only people credited. So I don't think it was like the Simpsons movie where like 1,000 people worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Simpsons movie, which a lot of people have been comparing this for the, to the Simpsons movie for a lot of obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Fox sitcom. It was on for a long, long time before finally being a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the aesthetic upgrades from TV to movie are similar. Like, it's more digital, it's more shading and mm-hmm. detail and nuance in the art.
Mm-hmm.
But this is much, much better than the Simpsons movie. The Simpsons movie really, I think, fundamentally doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know you're not a Simpsons fan.
I've not seen, I don't think, one full episode.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
You know, but I don't know if I said this on the air or off the air, but I was talking to Janine Gagliardi about Bob's Burgers. And I said, if you compare Bob's Burgers to the Simpsons, the heights that the Simpsons, like at their best, the Simpsons was better than Bob's Burgers.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob's Burgers, like Bob's Burgers was like an 8 all the way through.
Right.
Where the Simpsons was like a 10, a 10, and then like a 3 for a bunch of years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like in general, the sort of median right. Value of Bob's Burgers is higher,
right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it's like, you know, of course, The Simpsons is influential.
Right.
Because how could they not be? So, well, what's the plot of this here film?
It's a murder mystery.
You bet.
It starts with the sinkhole, which is really, like, I feel like a lot of what, it's not even really a sinkhole. That's what, like, what the, that's what everyone kept saying, because that's what it, the.
In The Simpsons movie, there's a sinkhole, too.
Right. But it's not really a sinkhole. It's a bursting pipe that does it, that starts it.
Right, right, right.
But I think because the trailer didn't give us that much, like everyone just assumed it was a sinkhole.
Right.
Like a lot of the trailer centered around this hole.
Right, and not
really,
the murder mystery. Yeah.
Right, and really that's not a whole lot of what the movie is about.
Yeah, it's really the inciting incident because
right,
the sinkhole happens.
Right.
But then a body is found in the
right.
sinkhole.
Right. Then a whole rest of, you know, a whole story happens besides the sinkhole. Or
right.
it's not even, it's a burst. Yeah, whatever.
Babe, but do you remember the Dennis the Menace movie from like the 80s where Dennis the Menace. This was, no, this is not the big one with like Leah Thompson. This is the one where Dennis like finds a dinosaur bone in his yard and then like archaeologists come and dig up his yard for dinosaur bones.
No.
It's right. It's okay if you, no one would know this but me.
I remember
the one with Christopher Lloyd
on Saved by the Bell when they found oil and Becky the duck.
Oh yes,
almost died.
Yes,
that was a sad one.
That was a sad one.
But she lived. Mm-hmm. No, did she?
Yeah, I think
Becky.
The duck lived.
Did she?
I believe so.
I don't know, guys. Go by Dawn.
Yeah.
In case you ever find a duck with oil on it.
That's right. So, well, one of the conceits of the show is that the Belcher family is always in need of money.
Oh, yeah.
They're not that successful.
No. Something's always going wrong.
Yeah.
They have good food. But,
right.
You know.
Other than Teddy, they don't have
Teddy.
They don't really have like a steady.
They don't. And every time like there's going to be something big, something messes it
wrong.
Up.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah.
Right. So at the beginning of this film, they're short on money, like always, and they have to pay their rent, but they also have to pay
the bank
because they took out a bank loan for kitchen equipment and stuff. So Bob is making a burger to bring to the bank guy, and Linda calls him bank man, and she says, please don't call me bank man. Yeah. To try to like smooth it over, and like maybe he'll give them an extension on their loan.
But he's off meat.
Yeah. And Bob's like, oh my God. When he says he's off meat.
You get, there's one scene where Bob's freaking out at the dinner table, and it's like a lot of Tina. You can tell where a lot, yeah, where you can tell where Tina gets really her true. Anxiety.
Yeah, it's like a montage of like five scenes of just Bob going, oh God. Yeah. Oh my God.
But like long drawn out, like, oh God. No. And when Tina freaks out, she's just like,
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. That's so true. Yeah. Oh, no. And then later on, he's like, he's in bed, and Linda's like, you okay, Bob? And he's like, oh, I held it together at dinner for the kids, but I'm really freaked out.
Sentimental.
So because of the burst, the faulty pipe that creates whatever a sinkhole.
It's right in front of the door, like, too, so no one can get in.
Right. So right when they really, really, they have... In the beginning,
they have a week.
The bank man's like, you have 7 days to pay us, or we're gonna repossess the kitchen stuff. So he's already like freaked out.
Yeah.
And then the hole happens, and no one can get in. And they're like, they put up a sign saying, "Come around the back," but no one wants to do that.
But they have to go through an alley, so that's
creepy. Smells like pee, right? And then we'll get into all the kids' storylines, but Louise, as part of her storyline, is trying to prove that she's brave. So she decides to film herself going down in the hole, and she finds a dead body.
Well, and a tooth falls in it.
Yeah. It's played like a horror scene, which is pretty interesting.
It's terrifying.
Like the skull comes, it reminds me a lot of the movie Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. Like the skull comes slowly out of the dirt and like falls on her, and she screams, and then the dead person's teeth fall in her mouth, and she spits it out.
I couldn't watch it the second time. We saw it today. It's animated.
Yeah.
And I still could not watch it.
Yeah. And and then it's a crime scene. So it's even more like like they can't do anything about it. And then they're like, well, that's right. We'll get it filled in, blah, blah, blah. We'll get an extension on our... We'll get an extension not on the loan, but we'll get it...
On the rent.
On the rent for Mr. Fish Order, played by Kevin Klein, who's... This might be his first movie in a long time. He's kind of retired from movies. Mm. But then Mr. Fishout is a person who's arrested for the crime, and everyone thinks he's guilty.
Because it was...
his gun.
It was his gun, and it was someone that worked on the pier.
Right. Mr. Fishout, if you don't know the show, is he owns the Wonder Wharf. It's supposed to be... It's not clear if it's like... East Coast or West Coast?
I think it's Jersey Shore. Isn't it modeled after Jersey Shore?
Yeah, but then a lot of it looks like very...
Or like Atlantic City? No.
Yeah, they're specifically not certain with it.
Yeah, I know.
Because it also has a very, like, if you look at like just the colors and stuff, it has a very like San Francisco-y look.
Yeah, we'll say Jersey.
The there's a little like park with like rides and stuff. Park,
yeah.
The like Wonder Wharf. Yeah. That's owned by Mr. Fishouter, and then a lot of other rest... He's the richest person in town, so like he also owns the building that Bob lives in. So he's Bob's landlord, and he's like a weirdo rich guy. He's always doing weirdo rich guy things, and has weirdo rich guy like rituals and things and stuff.
His brother, I mean, is also rich. They just come from wealth, I guess. And his brother lives on a treehouse on his property, but it's like a mansion treehouse.
Yeah. His brother Felix Fishouter, who's played by Zach Galifianakis, he didn't come to like the second or third season.
Yeah,
but then he stayed when he came.
Yeah. Nobody leaves. Nobody ever like disappears forever.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things about the show. Like, if something happens or a character comes in the show, they'll always be there.
Right, or come back.
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
They never forget about anyone.
Right. In this movie, they go when they want to. The kids want to go to see the carnies. They go and talk to Mickey,
who's
like, he was from like the first season. He was the guy who robbed the bank across the street.
Yeah.
And like Bob was his hostage. That's like one of the, that's one of the like, I think, first really great episodes of the show.
Yeah.
That's the one where Linda's like, Bob, don't die and leave me to all these freaking kids. And then he gets him, he decides to not be a criminal, and then he starts working.
Yeah.
He's in the film as well, and he keeps appearing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in trouble, and the Louise hears that they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't think that Mr. Fish Order did it because he wasn't acting suspicious around the hole. And she was like, well, if he really buried somebody in that hole, why would he not freak out? Why would he not immediately try to fill the hole?
Right.
And she knows if she could exonerate Mr. Fish Order, she can he can give the parents an extension. And
right, which is something I don't fully understand, because
mm-hmm.
I would think you'd want him to go to, well, I don't know, I don't own a business.
Have to pay him if he's in jail, right?
Right,
that's what I thought too. Yeah, it's not 100% clear.
Okay,
the movie makes it like, no, he said maybe about the rent, so he has to be out of jail.
Linda thinks that he winked, but he wears an eye patch. So Bob is like, how do you know it wasn't a regular blanket? She's like, I could tell.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is being too stretching, but like, maybe, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't collect it himself. Like,
right, that's true.
There's probably a service or something, so maybe he needs to be the one that like gives him the pass.
Yeah.
And he says maybe because he's drunk. Linda's like, Mr. Fish Order, we owe a lot of money. Could we not pay you rent this month? And he's like, what is this ridiculous question you're asking me? Are you asking me if you could not pay rent?
He always calls them burger people.
Yeah, because he doesn't know their people. Names. He knows Bob's name and that's it. And then he says, because he's drunk, he says, maybe. Yeah, like at one point later on, he's talking to Gene and he's like, male Bob child. Run, burger people. So that sets the kids off to like, on the mystery.
Right, to figure it out.
Yeah, and each of the kids has their own thing going on.
Right. They're all, like, in the beginning, they set up everything they want to do for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina wants to, like, have a summer boyfriend with Jimmy Jr.
Right, who she's always had a crush on.
Also, I'm kind of, like, curious if, like, when the new season comes back, is this movie going to count? Because are they all moving up a grade? Is Tina going to start high school?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Because they're finishing eighth grade.
It might, because we're not up to the current season, but we know just from, like, you know, seeing it online that there were, throughout this most recent season, you can see a crack in front of the...
Yeah, they're, like, subtly setting up for the movie.
Yeah, this is setting up where the movie's going to happen. So maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll just do, like, The Simpsons and they'll never get older and... You know.
Right. I mean, if they're in eighth grade forever, eighth grade to freshman year isn't
a
big jump.
Yeah.
And she could just be in freshman year.
I mean,
forever.
The show's already had like 10 seasons. So
she
would be an adult now anyway.
Right. That's what I mean.
Well, didn't the South Park do that? Didn't like after 20 years, they like went up a grade from third to fourth and it was like they made it like a big deal.
I was not allowed to watch South Park.
Oh my God. What a little nerd.
South Park was definitely out.
Were you allowed to watch Simpsons? Or
no, not really.
Wow. Is this why you're such a nerd right now?
Huh?
What's up?
No.
So what did you watch?
I could have watched The Simpsons at other people's houses, but I was like,
if you were bad, but you wouldn't want to be bad. You'd go home and tell on yourself.
No.
Today,
I didn't really watch Saturday Night Live, but I watched it at my friend Cora's house. Well, I wasn't not allowed. Whatever.
You weren't allowed to Saturday Night Live?
I wasn't not allowed to watch it, but you know, it's on at like 11.
Today,
got the time for that.
Today we went to a sneaker store.
Oh my gosh.
And I picked out sneakers and I said I want to wear them. So I put them on and I took their tags off. And
yeah, took the tags off before he paid.
And then I put
That's
my old
against the law.
I'm talking to the audience now. And then I put the old sneakers in the box, as we all know we can do. And I said, Jen, I will buy the box. This is a thing that happens. I burp. This is a thing that happens in stores. It's not a big deal. But you thought you were freaked out a little bit by it.
Yeah.
But then when I rang it up, the guy was like, sure. He got it. He understood.
No, the guy was like,
No, he didn't anything.
Mm. I saw it in his eyes, though.
No. All right. Anyway. So we were talking about Tina.
Yeah,
Jimmy Jr. She wants to be with Jimmy Jr. She wants to ask. She wants to give Jimmy Jr. a brooch-lit.
No.
Or what does she call it?
Oh my gosh.
It's the clip in her hair.
It's a barrette.
Barrette-lit? She calls it something like that.
Yeah. Like a necklace and a barrette. I forget.
And that's going to ask him to be her summer boyfriend.
Right. Meanwhile, like, all the guys are giving the girls stuff.
Yeah.
She wants, I mean, That's
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
It's all about fear, actually. Now
yeah,
that I think
a lot
about
of
it.
It's about all of their like fears are coming. They are like playing out in their minds because Tina's writing in her journal, and then like she's having like a fantasy about Jimmy Jr. and they're going horseback riding, right. And he has no pants on,
right?
Because Tina loves butts.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just playing out that she's like scared that he won't live up. Real Jimmy Jr. won't live up to the fantasy yeah. that she's created of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Gene's thing is that he wants to play.
He creates a musical instrument.
Right. And he wants to play at the wharf.
Yeah.
For everyone. And like,
he's
I
afraid
mean,
that he's not good.
Yeah. His fear is that he's not good. Aliens come down.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, this is awful.
He creates an instrument out of like a spoon and a napkin holder, like a diner yeah. napkin holder. Yeah. And like a rubber band where you just like flick it yeah. and it makes a sound that makes everyone's teeth hurt.
Yeah.
And then Louise's, which is like everyone was saying like this is really her movie of like mm-hmm. the kids. Louise gets called a baby because some girl in her class, like what was it called? The death drop or something?
Yeah, it's
you like
I don't
spin
remember.
Around on the monkey bars.
Yeah.
But you would be upside down so her ears would come off.
Yeah.
And somebody calls her baby because she doesn't want to like try it
right.
and drop her ears.
The girls in her grade are like, yeah. she doesn't want to do it because she's afraid her ears
yeah.
will fall off. I don't know why she still wears that. She's just a baby.
Yeah, but she was already like upset about it before.
Yes, yeah. She was starting to worry about
yeah,
her ears
that she was
even
too
before
old.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah, that she was too old for them, but she didn't want to let them go.
Yeah, it hurt. In the opening song, her part is like sad.
Yeah.
She's talking about being afraid that she's too mature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, and then, of course, Bob is afraid of losing the restaurant, so it's
right.
it's all fear.
Yeah.
And
Linda's Linda. We
yeah.
love her.
She's the positive one in the family. I actually think that it was a good... You know, the ears is such an iconic part of her character design. I think that it was good that her story revolved around the ears.
Yeah.
But not in a way where it's not like... It wasn't like Pee-wee's bike where she lost her ears and had to find them. It was just about what the ears might represent to her.
Right.
You get a backstory for the ears where... what she thinks is the backstory. When in her fantasy, she's talking to her toys. Mm-hmm. And they're having like a powwow. And she says, I got the ears because on the first day of pre-K, I was scared and my mom made it for me and it made me feel better. So it, to her, it represents being afraid,
mm-hmm.
which we then find out later in the end. That's not the reason.
It's because Bob's mom wore a hat that was like the same color.
Yeah.
But didn't have ears. It was just like a regular like kind of beanie
yeah.
hat. And because she was like so brave.
Yeah.
They made them, I think her mom was already making them for her. She just like added the bunny ears.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, it was cute and little.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this weird, interesting, warm moment of like this flashback where Bob's telling the story. That you see like a baby Bob holding his mother's hand.
Yeah.
And he says like, you remind me so much of her. And the fact that you wear the ears is like you have a part of her even though you never met her.
Yeah. It's really sweet.
It's very sweet. But that's Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
It can be very, very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they all have their fears. They like you see three dream sequences in a row of each kid's
mm-hmm.
dream.
Mm-hmm.
Or sort of like anxiety dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then the kids, to save the family's business, the kids decide to find the real killer.
Yep. So that Mr. Fisher doesn't go to jail.
Right. And they immediately think it's Felix. The
right,
brother.
Because if he framed his brother...
he'd get all the money.
Right, he'd get all the money. And he has access to yeah. his gun because he lives on his property. Right.
And also in the first episode Felix was in, he tries to kill Bob and Mrs. Fishorder by tying them up to underneath a boardwalk.
Right.
So they drowned in the...
right.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Teddy makes them a... what's it called?
A cart, yeah.
Yeah.
So they can sell burgers outside.
And it, like, does really, like, well.
Right.
And
the sign says Bob Burgers,
yeah.
which is called back to a long-running joke where even though Teddy's their biggest customer, he never says it right.
Right.
He says Bob Burgers.
Yeah. And Linda, which is where we get the suit too, makes Jean has like a hamburger like suit.
Yeah.
To be their mascot, and she puts a bikini on it because they're going on to the wharf.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. And she's like, sexy burgers. Yeah.
And that's what she's in for the rest of.
Yes, that's true. Because
I don't think she's wearing anything underneath, so she can't take it off.
Yeah, that's what she's in. Yeah, that is what she's in for. Yeah. So the kids follow Felix into, in Wonder Wharf, there's a ride, like a real baby ride that Tina likes. The molehill. And there's like a little cut to like Tina being like, well.
it's for old people. Yeah. Me and Dad go on it.
Yeah. And the kids sneak into it, and it's dark, and there's a bunch of buttons, and Jean can't help but press them, and they slide down.
One is
down.
Like the ouchy, ouch, ouch button. Yeah.
And they slide down, and underneath, they go underneath the ground, and there's like the Fish Odor's like secret clubhouse, which is like this beautiful like bar. It was an old ride from the old Wonder Wharf that
they built over.
Yeah, their family, the father had.
And yeah, it was their father owned it, and then they just built over it.
Right.
Because that's who they are.
Yeah. Poseidon's Secret, spelled S-E-A. And he's like, I'm just getting that now.
Yeah. And it was meant to be a submarine ride.
Yeah. It's like 20,000 Leagues ride, I think.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
And that becomes kind of a big set piece because then a lot of the rest of the movie takes place there. Like, first, the kids are trying to talk to Calvin, who's their cousin lawyer, and say Felix is the killer. But then, like, it all goes awry, and then the Fish Odors are gonna, they think that they fixed their submarine to turn into a real submarine, and they're gonna flee the country, which is stupid. And then they start picking on Calvin, and while that's happening, Luis sees a picture, and in the picture, well, they find a clue, which is a cufflink that looks like a banana wearing a graduation hat, and she sees a picture with Grover wearing it. So she realizes the lawyer cousin is the killer.
Right.
And then he sees that she realizes it, and then he holds them hostage, and then Bob and Linda, because they were running, they have a whole like thing that goes on where like they're trying to sell burgers in a cart in Wonder Wharf, but then they accidentally knock over a little thing that the carnies put up to remember.
Oh yeah,
Candy Dan, who's
Cotton
the person
Candy
who died.
Dan.
The person, the victim. So they're running away, and then they see the kids' bikes outside the ride, and then their parents, they end up with the kids, and then they're all taken hostage and stuff.
Right.
And then the movie ends from there. You know, they get away through a secret door. They drive around underneath the what they call the underpier in like this little like clam car.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's actually, the action looks really good. It's it's that like CGI 2D animation where it looks like 2D animation, but it's clearly CG is like what's compositing it.
Right.
So there's that little like chase, and then the family drives to in front of their restaurant, and then the villain Grover like pushes them in with his car, which is a lobster.
Right, they stop right in front of the hole.
Right.
And then he keeps crashing into them.
Right. And then there's a pile of dirt, and he crashes that, and he basically buries them alive, and they think they're gonna die.
Yeah. And that's where we get the story with Louise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Bob has the idea to, like, try to burst open the new pipe.
Yeah.
And that gets them out. Also, while all this is happening, Teddy's at Jimmy Pesto's.
Yeah.
Traitor.
I felt to me like it was a bit of a traitor.
I mean, I guess if it's closed.
I guess. By the way, we should say Jimmy Pesto, who is the person who owns Pesto's, who's the Italian restaurant directly across the street from Bob's Burgers, he has throughout the series been like an antagonist towards Bob.
Right.
And he's voiced by the actor comedian Jay Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay Johnson is a fuck nut. And he was at the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah.
And you know, they've gone through all those photos and the footage finding people, and he was found out. And I don't know if he's fired or not, but it's very pointed that Jimmy Pesto doesn't say anything.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything.
He's in scenes where he clearly could say something, but he doesn't have a single line of dialogue, which makes you think maybe he did and then they cut it.
Yeah, I mean, if they cut it, it doesn't feel...
It doesn't... If you were just watching it as a movie, you wouldn't feel, it wouldn't feel awkward, but being a fan of the show, it does stand out a little bit of like, wow, he's not saying anything. He's like a major character that's there in scenes, but doesn't say anything. He's also known for being like a loudmouth. Like,
that's true.
Like, yeah. I bet there was a scene where Jimmy Pesto was like making fun of Bob for the hole. Oh, like, right. Nice hole, Bob, blah, 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 you know, whatever bullshit.
Yeah.
And they cut, I bet they just cut it out because he's a fucking traitor.
He's like silent.
Yeah.
Like, even like where like they could have added laughter or something. He's just silent.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Yeah. I get the first time I didn't notice, but maybe it was just Angria. I didn't even notice he was in it. You were like, did you see Jimmy Pesto? No, I was like, Jimmy Pesto was there. I didn't see him. I didn't even notice him.
There's a whole, he has his own shot where he, when the sinkhole happens, he comes outside and looks at it and then smiles he's happy.
Yeah.
Which easily, I think, could have led to a line.
Right. No, you're right.
Isn't it fun when bad guys in shows become bad guys in real life and you can just treat them like they're their characters? Like, of course Jimmy Pesto was at the...
That's so Jimmy Pesto.
Fucking Jimmy. Of course Jimmy Pesto was at the fucking January 6th. Fucking scumbag Jimmy Pesto. I wish they had the balls to do that. Like, in next season?
Yeah.
Like, they, like they're like, yeah, Jimmy was at the January 6th.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
No.
And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah. So that's, we basically went through the story. I guess let's just talk about things that we thought were funny or interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Things that stood out to us. You know, they tried to get every character in it, but obviously the story couldn't allow for everything. So they do this thing where in the credits,
Everyone shows up.
Yeah, like, and there's like dancing. Character. Like Aunt Gail.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I mean, I guess it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Really, it's just like the core people plus
fish orders.
I mean, fish orders kind of core.
I
guess his brother isn't, and I guess the cousin isn't.
Yeah,
but like, really?
Well, Mickey,
oh no, Mort's not in it. Mort's usually in it a Mort lot is in it. I don't think he's in, is he, is he in the credits? He's probably in the credits.
No, he's not in the credits, but he has one scene in the movie.
He does?
Yeah, he's in the...
Right.
Yeah, he's, he has like, one scene.
Does he know that he's that I ordered a burger? That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Voiced by the great Andy Kindler.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Mort-ish.
Yeah, he only has one scene, though. Okay, that to me felt like we got to just put Mort in there.
Yeah, he could have been in there a little more. Especially, I guess not now. I guess now it's like more established that like Mort's there often. But like,
He's in the show less than he was in the beginning.
Yeah, I know. Him and Teddy used to like really be in there together. Right.
Oh yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And now it's like mostly Teddy.
Yeah.
And sometimes Mort.
That's true. Yeah. They they try to, if they don't appear in the story, they appear in the credits.
Yeah, in the credits. Yeah. There's the girl. I don't know why. I guess because it's late. And there's a million characters. But the girl that like sucks her necklace. She was like sitting behind Gene while he was singing.
Yeah. It really, it's a show and movie that really rewards you for watching it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they know that you know.
Right.
Like, even like we said, like, people were clapping for Little King Trash Mouth.
Yeah.
Who literally, he's just a raccoon that comes out at one point. But if you know the show, like, Linda and Teddy like to watch.
Are obsessed with them. Yeah. It's like a little soap opera. Yeah.
They watch the raccoons behind the restaurant and like give them names and stuff. So
Little Teddy, Teddy's cart breaks down and he's like super upset, like his like child died.
Yeah,
and he's like, "Nah, Little King Trash Mouth."
Oh, so good.
And it breaks down like in the alley.
Yeah.
Little King Trash Mouth.
Yeah, and in the school you have Mr. Franz.
Oh yeah, Mr. Franz was in it.
They use him well. It just a couple times when Louise is freaking out, he'll be like, "Are you okay?" And she'll yell at him.
Louise's and then hat his does fall off, right? His secretary, but you don't see her.
Yes, at the very end,
she does
the thing, and her hat falls off, and he's like, "Oh my god, her ears fell off," and she's
"Let
like,
me go get my puppets."
Yeah. How do you think? Do you like the way they handled that?
I think it's fine. I think, I don't think we need to see her.
Right, because it's one of those things. She's it's like the way I always... Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said it when we left. She just looks like a little Linda.
Right.
I'm fine. I don't need to see her with her ears off.
It's like I always said about Doctor Who's name. Yeah. Like you want it, but what could possibly be satisfying?
Right.
She's just going to look like a girl. Right. She's just going to have hair.
Right.
Right? So it's not going to be satisfying.
Right. And her hair flips up exactly like Linda's does.
Yeah, yeah.
Except she just it's looks in like pigtails Linda. For yeah. some reason, and Linda's isn't, which it flips the exact same way.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool that it comes off, right. but we don't see it. Because we don't need to see it.
And I'm perfect. I do not feel bamboozled.
Yeah.
Even yeah. a little bit.
And she still wears it. It's just right. she doesn't feel like she needs to wear it.
Right. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It falls off and she's like, all right. She picks it up. She puts it back on.
Right. Whereas there's an episode early on.
Yeah.
Like season 3 or 4 or something where an older boy steals it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the fire... laughing Louise memes come from.
Yeah, yeah.
She's laughing in front of a dumpster fire or something. Yeah. I don't know what she's laughing in front of, but...
And then that bully ends up being a reoccurring character, too. Yeah. Everybody will Nobody be a leaves. Reoccurring character. Right, right, right.
Nobody leaves forever.
Yeah. I'm trying to just think of other things that are really funny. Oh, after... So, like you said, Bob gets them out of the hole by using the wheel of the cart they're in to, mm-hmm. break the new water main. And Teddy, they're stuck in the clam, and Teddy helps them out. And then Bob's got a wet spot in front of his pants. And they're like, Dad, you've got a pee spot. And he's like, no, it's water from the water main. And she's like, oh, okay, well, it's just where a pee spot would be, and you're not wet anywhere else. Oh, that's good.
Because they almost died.
Yeah. There's just a lot of really quick, fun lines. Like, Linda's like, everyone go to bed. We're good parents.
Yeah.
Or Zeke.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy Jr. are wrestling. When in the beginning of the show, I found Zeke really annoying.
Yeah.
But the more I know him, the more I know his depths and the more I like him. And they're wrestling. And Jimmy Jr.'s like, that's my penis area.
Yeah. Be careful, Zeke. That's my penis area.
Yeah.
There's one where Zeke is doing parkour, but it's really bad. And what's her name's you fell off the wall.
What am I looking at?
I love that.
Or when they're in the... You keep seeing these scenes of Zeke and Jimmy Jr. being weird because Tina keeps psyching herself up to go and ask him out. And they're in the cafeteria and he's like, Zeke, throw a chicken nugget in my mouth. And he keeps missing it. And Zeke's like, well, maybe we should just stop doing this, man. And he's like, no.
I got to catch one.
He's like, I want to do this more than anything.
That's his goal for the end of eighth grade.
Yeah.
To catch a chicken nugget. Yeah. It's out that he keeps failing.
Yeah.
Jimmy Jr.
We're just talking about funny jokes. At one point, after Grover reveals himself to be the bad guy, mm-hmm. Mr. Fisher was like, you know, one time you were up in the house and we sat on your sandwich bareback.
whenever the fish odors are together, because they're just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Whenever they're in the what's it called, in the little submarine that they almost die in, they're just singing songs together.
Yeah, yeah.
When they finally get saved and get pulled up, they're just I don't know what song they're singing, but they're we're gonna survive.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, they feel a shake as they're being saved.
Yeah.
It was a crane is picking them up. And Felix is like, I think a giant squid is trying to mate with us. Mr. Fisher was like, they could do worse.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
You know what I found interesting, and this I had to look this up after we got home. Mickey was always voiced by Bill Hader, mm-hmm. And then the last time he appeared on the show, he wasn't. And they said it was because at the time they said it was because Bill Hader just couldn't do it. But Bill Hader doesn't voice Mickey in the movie.
Maybe they wanted to keep it consistent. I don't know.
I don't know. It just it's very weird to me because I hadn't seen that other episode,
right?
And I was expecting Mickey to sound like Bill Hader. I mean, because Bill Hader is somebody, and
right.
whoever's doing it now is just doing a Bill Hader impression,
right?
It's like on Family Guy when Death was played by Norm MacDonald, and then they replaced it with Adam Carolla just doing a Norm MacDonald impression. It's like, well, this isn't as good.
Yeah.
What about when Linda punches Bob in the nuts?
Yeah.
She's like, you're being droopy, Bob. You got to be hopeful, Bob. You got to punch droopy Bob in the nuts like this. And then she pushes him.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's an overall, I think it's a really, it's a solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I love the songs. I think I like some of the songs in the show better.
Right. I like the first song.
The first song's my favorite song. Yeah, yeah. The summer song's the best song.
Right.
And you're right. It becomes sort of like the score of the movie.
Yeah. I don't hate the rubber duck or lucky duck. Lucky duck.
I kind of hate it. I don't hate it.
I don't think I liked it at first. Yeah. But this time it kind of grew on me.
It's just ridiculous.
It's also got like a lot going on.
Well, and it's the best thing about it is it has a lot of Louise's story in it.
Right, right. No, but like as a song, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It feels like they just had the idea, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we had all the... Because also we find out that all the carnies that work at Wonder Wolf live in a abandoned part of town called Carniopolis.
Which is like where they used to make dog food.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and when they get there, Gene's like, this smells like the most amount of stuff you can put into meat. And then Tina's like, oh, that was their motto. And then you see a sign that says, like, whatever dog food, the most amount of stuff you can put in meat.
There's a lot of, like, fun background stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you can notice, like, a second or third time watching it. That when Bob's, like, freaking out, there's a little, like homemade award next to him that says world's smelliest dad or something like that.
Yeah, it's done that, like, crayons. The kids you make. Clearly see it's the kids. Yeah.
We just watched the like fan animation one.
Oh yeah, the episode that's like all the different based on different styles from fans and stuff.
Is that the only one that they did like that?
Well, it's so far what we're up to.
Right.
Oh yeah, you said something the movie reminded you of that.
There's one point where they're like when they're driving and like underneath the wharf, they pass like a funhouse mirror and they all like get scared.
Full of junk from the old wharf. Yeah.
And they all get scared, and then they just look, and they're like, oh, that's us. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's, like, a callback to, like, the different...
Yeah, I think it could be.
That episode, like, every single scene is a different animation style.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Which is... It's fun. It's interesting.
It's a fun episode, but it's not the best episode of the show. It's more of, like a curiosity.
Yeah, but I like the idea of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very cool. One thing... So they don't play the opening theme in it really, but they kind of do in one scene. And when we saw it at Alamo, it was fun because everyone in the audience was really into it because they were all fans.
Yeah.
When they get the hole fixed outside, Bob's like, come outside, come outside.
Yeah.
And you see the shot that is the shot that opens up every episode and you hear the opening theme and they have a sign that says reopening. So it's sort of it's like a recreation of the opening. With kind of the theme playing in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gene's like, are we sure about burgers?
It's so good.
Gene wasn't gross in this. Sometimes Gene grosses me out. Sometimes Gene's definitely my least favorite kid.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like him, but I felt like you had a nice amount of Gene in this.
Yeah.
Because there could be too much. Like, when it's a Gene-centric episode, I'm usually like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's a Gene episode.
Yeah, he's a little gross. He's a gross little boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes that's too much.
Yeah. I prefer... Well, who's your favorite kid?
Of the kids?
Yeah.
I like a good Tina episode.
Yeah, I see a lot of myself in Tina.
But I also don't mind a Louise episode. I always feel like you think the Louise episodes are going to be like angry.
Yeah.
And they're always just like super heartfelt.
Yeah, they end up being sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what about that episode where like, it was such a weird premise. It's like they watch these Japanese kung fu movies.
Oh, yeah.
And then like the guy who plays the ninja, his daughter is estranged from him and it upsets Louise. And she's like, how could they not talk to each other for so long?
I know. She's so sweet.
She's a daddy's girl.
She is. And I like that, like, throughout the show, and this is like a lot of people have said this, that like as parents, they like each have their own thing with the kids. Like there's a whole episode where like they all three kids find out like what the other one does with their mom.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
but it's all like their own like unique thing. That she takes only them to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. It's a sweet show.
Yeah. Yeah, Gene episodes can be rough and he did have like just a good amount.
Perfect amount. And I actually thought the shit that he threw out there was funny.
Yeah.
Like, I always love when Gene says something inappropriate, and then Bob will be like, Gene.
Yeah.
Like, what do they say at the beginning when there's the hole? He's like something like, something about filling a hole, and Gene yeah. says something, and he's like, Gene.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, I would recommend it even if you're not a fan of the show, but I would watch the show.
I follow someone on TikTok that does like movie stuff, and he said that he's never seen the show and he didn't feel lost.
Yeah.
But I mean, he knew, like, you could tell that there's stuff that, like, yeah. you know, was for the fans.
You know, we've been binging the show and we're right. like up to season 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah,
and
it'll take you a little bit.
And yeah, but like I think it's been consistently good, but yeah. I know people that watch it live feel like it kind of just like they lost interest in it. And I just blame that on time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think almost it's better than binge it, because I have not felt any drop off.
Right.
At least in what we've seen, which is like a good chunk of the show.
Yeah.
The majority of it. Like I haven't felt like. I feel like it's been consistent with consistent stories. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, every season we'll have a couple stories that aren't great.
Right.
But they don't repeat themselves very much.
Right, right.
They come up with good stories. So, like, I guess people get sick of things after mm-hmm. a while, which makes sense. I mean, that's the weird thing about animation, which is, like, right. they'll do it for 30 years or something. Like,
right.
if it were a live sitcom, it would definitely not be on anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think we did it. Do you have anything else to say about Bob's Burgers? They have great holiday episodes.
Oh, yeah. They go all out for Thanksgiving because Bob is a chef yeah. and that's a chef's holiday.
Yeah. I hope they do another movie.
Me too. It was good.
Well, yeah. This is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by JGL Jennifer Grace Luttrell. She's nodding. She's nodding into a microphone, folks.
That's me.
This is a podcast about non-toxic fandom, pop culture, ephemera, and all the shit that you love. We come out every Wednesday without fail. We end the episode by saying...
Cool, bye-bye.